360 or visit cgcwater.com.
Want thousands of people at your yard sale? Have it at Ramona Flea Market. Ramona Flea Market is open every Saturday and Sunday, 8 till 5. And you can set up a yard sale for less money than it costs to print flyers. People come to Ramona Flea Market because of the great deals on clothes, toys, electronics, produce, and more. If you're wanting to sell anything from household items to having a booth for your business, come to Ramona Flea Market. Ramona Boulevard near I-10 and 295. Open Saturday and Sunday, 8 till 5. For information, call 786-3532.
Talk 100.3 FM, traffic and weather.
On 95 South at 295 on the south end of town, a broken down car is causing some delay. If you're on 95 South at Butler, look out for an accident. Butler Boulevard going west at 95, another crash. Hot and humid for most of the day, then thunderstorms in the afternoon, a high near 90. More rain with thunderstorms this evening. Overnight, the low 75.
The Lillian McDermott Show.
We love, we fear, bridges we burn, we make mistakes, then we live and learn. When life gets tough, and it seems like your best ain't good enough. If you're in need of hope, you know where I'll be. I'll be right here. Right here, and when you need a friend, you can count on me. I'll be right here, waiting for you.
This is the place you can always turn to when you need a friend, the Lillian McDermott Show. To reach out to Lillian, visit her on the web at whenyouneedafriend.com. Now, let's all learn together. Here's Lillian McDermott.
Hello, my listening friend. It's so nice we can meet each other on the air on this beautiful, best day ever. And for those of you who have been listening to the show for 7 years, thank you. And for those of you who have just stumbled upon my show, which is the introduction, I just stumbled upon your show. Well, this is what the show is about. I am committed to provide alternative ways to heal, and it is my mission to make awareness, responsibility, and truth a part of our everyday life. And I hope you, my listening, as well as my viewing friends, will feel empowered to learn a new truth and embrace the life of your dreams. Now, today, we're giving away a book, so I want you to remember this number, 407-373-5959, because the seventh caller or texter will win a new copy, a copy of The Existentialist Survival Guide. And when I say existentialist, I'm going to mumble it because it just doesn't flow from my mouth the way it does. But I'm just going to give you a little idea of what this show is about. I have mentioned to you that I have made choices outside the box. And because of it, I've been ridiculed, judged, and probably excluded from certain events that make people feel uncomfortable that I'm not just like them. Does that sound familiar to you? Do you resonate with that? And as I reflect on these moments, I think, you know what? I am taking the bullets so that somebody else who wants to take this journey, that has been taking this journey with me, doesn't have to take the bullets. So if it meant taking the bullets to live an authentic life in an inauthentic world, which is what this book is about, it's called How to Live Authentically in an Inauthentic Age. The book is called The Existentialist Survival Guide by Gordon Mariano.
Marino.
And so I told him, I said from the beginning, I'm just going to apologize right here because I have it just doesn't flow. So we have Gordon Mariano, and we are going to talk about how to live an authentic life. And since it is our sole purpose in life to give and receive love and knowledge, I am so grateful that Gordon Mariano is here to do just that. Welcome, Gordon, to the Lillian McDermott Radio Show.
Thanks, Lily. It's an honor to be on. I'm looking forward to a good conversation with you.
Oh, we are going to do that. Not only that, we're going to do a little bit of sparring. You're a former boxer. Share a little bit about your background and what led you to this wisdom that you currently possess.
Well, as I described in the book, I went through some very, very hard times in my early 20s and picked up Kierkegaard, and who's an existentialist. And I'll bet you'll have trouble pronouncing Kierkegaard. Søren Kierkegaard is the father of existentialism. And he helped me get through those times with therapy, too, at the same time. Mm-hmm. But he was here, and he's an existentialist. And so I'm about 65 now. And I decided after all these years of walking with these people who have made such a difference in my life, I try to distill some of their main ideas in combination with a memoir of stories that illustrate what they're talking about. So I think the examples are very important. They bring to life the insights of these thinkers.
Very good. And so the book is called How to Live Authentically in an Inauthentic Age. It's the Existentialist Survival Guide. You know, you're going to laugh at me every time I say it. So it's by Gordon Mariano.
And Marino.
Why am I telling what? Okay. I think I've known you in a former life and you were somebody else. Okay. Yeah. So Gordon Mariano and Gordon Marino's PhD.
Like Dan Marino.
Yes. I don't know. I think it's been like a discombobulated start for me. But here we go. Be the seventh caller or texter. Seventh caller or texter, 407-373-5959. So you wrote this book. This is your memoirs. And you started, let's talk about the boxing in your life. Let's share a little bit about your background and how that started for you.
With boxing?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, well. There were a lot of slaps flying around in my home and violence in my neighborhood. So, and my grandfather was a boxer, so it seemed like a good idea to learn how to defend yourself. So, and also to deal with a lot of that. My parents were fighting a lot, it's helpful dealing with anger and fear.
Yes.
That's
yes.
What I talk about boxing as a Winnean workshop. One of the big main points in my books is that in order to be a good human being, we need to be able to deal with difficult emotions. We need practice with them. Supervised practice, and boxing is a great workshop for that kind of supervised practice. That's why I've been training fighters for 30 years.
And as you look at this, you know, the anger and the emotions that you have, one of the things that we talk about on the show is that many people want to treat the body, but they very rarely want to look at the internal traumas, the emotional aspect of healing. And so today we're going to be talking about this with Gordon, and we are going to be giving away his book called The Existentialist Survival Guide by Gordon Mariano, and be the seventh caller, 407-373-5959. And we're going to continue our conversation with Gordon when we return worldwide at whenyouneedafriend.com. We'll be right here waiting for you.
My name is Kelly Gallagher. I'm a five-time cancer survivor powered by my sixth pacemaker and a new heart valve. How did I get well? I have the most amazing, incredible, integrative, alternative, complementary, adjunct, and functional medicine doctors that you could ever imagine. And they're all at getyourlifebacknow.live. 2 days, 16 doctors, news you can use. They have all the solutions of how you can take power and charge of your own personal health care.
And if you'd like to purchase this product, please go to getyourlifebacknow.live.
The Lily McDermott Radio Show has brought great teachers who have taught us that our bodies can heal naturally and without toxicity. Not everyone has access to this information, and insurance does not pay for holistic therapies. After learning this truth, I started a foundation. McDermott Holistic Healing Foundation is in its infancy and can use your help. Go to McDermottHolisticHealingFoundation.org, register, donate, and heal. McDermottHolisticHealingFoundation.org is here for you. When you or a family member is in trouble with the law, it affects the entire family. At times like these, we need an advocate that will listen and guide us. Let me introduce you to Jacksonville criminal defense attorney, Kate Messick. Big or small, your case is her priority, and she will treat you like family. To learn more, call 904-619-2510. That's 904-619-2510 or MESICLaw.com. Office, Jacksonville.
Teens whose parents drive distracted are twice as likely to also drive distracted. Our children look up to us, they pick up our habits, good and bad. What behaviors are you teaching your children while you drive? Eating, texting, putting on makeup? What distractions would you give up if it meant saving your child's life? Be the driver you want your teen to be. End distracted driving. Visit ndd.org to learn more. This is Lillian McDermott, and I'm glad FM 100.3 The Biz cares about you.
You can text Lillian McDermott or leave her a voicemail at 407-373-5959. Once again, here's Lillian.
Welcome back to the Lillian McDermott Radio Show, where we always learn and grow with one another. And today I'm boxing. My boxing partner is Gordon Marino, PhD. And he wrote a book about how to live authentically in an inauthentic age, The Existentialist Survival Guide. And you know, ever since I picked up this book, I was like, okay, existentialist. Okay, let's talk about what, let's talk, it's not a difficult word, but for me, it just doesn't flow very well.
It's about the idea. I think maybe your viewers would like to know a little bit about who the existentialists are.
Yes, let's talk about that.
A very motley crew of thinkers that don't share any one belief, but have similar themes. So the themes that they're interested in is our choice, the freedom, the individual, kind of limits of reason, the meaning of life, asking questions about the meaning. And it includes thinkers such as Kierkegaard, Dostoevsky, Tolstoy, Simone de Beauvoir. And only two people really identified themselves as existentialists. That was Jean-Paul Sartre and his lover, Simone de Beauvoir. So, but there's some are atheists, some are believers. So it's a very motley crew of people.
Yes. So you resonated with these people, as you had said at the beginning, and I had mentioned to you during the break. And by the way, we have on the air and off the air conversations on the Lillian McDermott Radio Show. So you can go to whenyouneedafriend.com and check out the YouTube video to catch out the background information that we talk about when we're off the air. So you had mentioned at the beginning that you, and in the book, you describe your past. And many can say you could have anger and you have every right to feel what you feel, but you've gone beyond that. You used your experience and what I call the fourth stage of gratitude or responsible living, which is giving back to the world what you have learned. And so that's so important to use that. You could use the anger as poison, or you can use your anger as a vessel to fuel your energy, to learn the opposite, to love. And so let's talk about your background. And at what point did you say, okay, this isn't working for me, I need to do something different?
Well, as I described in the book, it was after a breakup in my first marriage. And I was in a very, very bad state, very depressed. I had tendencies towards that to begin with. Suicidal, drinking, doing drugs, and ended up in a mental in a hospital, and so that was it. But I encountered Kierkegaard one day in a bookstore. I was a graduate student in philosophy at the same time, and I dropped out though. And he helped me think of suffering, that kind of psychic suffering, as an activity, not a passive something. You know, because when you feel that way, you feel like you have a stench. You feel like you just feel like a leper, really, when you feel that bad. And he helped me believe that suffering is an activity you can do with dignity or not. And so that was very helpful. But it wasn't like some epiphany or some great one insight. That's not how I think. That's not how growth takes place. I think it took a long period of time, and I still work with, I still deal with those, the funk, you know.
Isn't it interesting? We think that we've solved something and then it's done. It's no different than breathing, Gordon. To me, you know, breathing is so important in life. And we think that if we breathe once, we're okay and we don't have to do it again. No, this is a gradual process, you know, dealing with life. And so you have taken this book, and the book is called The Existentialist Survival Guide by Gordon Marino and PhD. And you've broken your life down in different categories. So your first category in chapter one is anxiety. Let's describe your anxiety for those of for my listening friend, and for people who are watching. Let's talk about anxiety and how you've been able to work with that.
Well, I don't know. It's work with that. It's a different. It's a, with the existentialists will offer a different vocabulary and way of looking at our inner life.
Okay. And
today it's all, you know, medication, right? Mm-hmm. Medication. My neurochemistry's off, or six steps to getting rid of your anxiety. These little life engineering methods that I had take issue with, and so they offer a different way of thinking about it. But one of the things is, one of the issues is they have a more positive view of anxiety. That anxiety, to be a human being, is to experience anxiety. It's a, anxiety is a sign that your spirit, right? Of course, it can become pathological. But it's not. It's not a disease. It's a manifestation of our freedom, that we're free. We have anxiety because we're free. We have to make choices and be responsible for them.
Okay. Say more. Say more about that. How did it affect your life? How did existentialism affect that thought of anxiety and how you've been able to manipulate it?
It's not, I'm not manipulating. It's just that puts you in a different relationship. One of the insights I think in the book is that we can't control what our moods and feelings, but we have a lot to say about how we relate to those moods and feelings.
So, correct.
And again, that's why I work with a lot of my work with boxers has to do with, okay, you're anxious before a fight. That's natural. Don't panic about it. Don't panic about feeling panicked. So learning how to sit with difficult emotions is part of what this book's about.
Yes.
Right.
Well, that's okay. Learning how to sit with is something that people, And what I deal with as a life coach, people don't want to do. They just want to fix their body. They want to say, okay, I want to take a pill. So my registered service mark, Gordon, is you can take a pill, you can take responsibility. It's not that I'm against the pill. I am for doing everything we possibly can. But sitting with something is something that people don't care to do. They want to talk about their pain. They want to talk.
Depression. Who wants to sit with that? It's painful. Scary. It's terrifying.
That's right. So let's talk about how you were able to do this and how you were able to transfer this. I know you write it in the book, but let's bring it into bite sizes that people that, because today modern medicine pays for modern medicine. Instead, you say, okay, I'm anxious. That's a symptom. Your body is speaking to you. Absolutely. I agree 100%. But here's the thing. We call a symptom a disease. Anxiety, a disease. And so now here's a pill for anxiety, and here's a pill for depression, and here's a pill. But let's talk about that sitting with. I want to funnel that energy so that people can say, wow, here I am taking medication for anxiety, but I need to sit with what?
Well, you not only need to sit with it, you need to also reflect on it. What's it? Where's it coming from? Like the other day, I was walking up the stairs going to teach a seminar, and there was an article I had was being considered, and I was very nervous all of a sudden, like, is the article going to get published? Like, who cares? Like, I'm at my stage, it doesn't really make, you know, like, and then I said to myself, man, what is it about you that you're so insecure? These you need more and more of these merit badges now still? What is it? And then I tried to ask myself in a tender way, you know, so it's, here was this anxiety, some self-reflection about what it's about.
Yeah.
And go on. And in our society, there's an antipathy towards self-reflection from the top down.
Sure.
Okay.
Well, if you reflect too much, then you might not need that pill.
Well, that's true too. Yeah, but it's painful. Oftentimes we need help in self-reflection. So a big part of it, you know, I was able to survive some of my worst impulses because of a therapist who's been, when I was 19 or 20, helped me, and I've been talking to her. I wrote a piece in the New York Times about her called The Long Conversation, 45 years talking to her. She treated me for free when I didn't have any money. And so I emphasize a lot relationships. Relationships are so important. And we want the quick fix, and relationships involve vulnerability.
Yes.
Vulnerability, you know, and the quick fixes in life don't, and we don't want it to be vulnerable. So A lot of this book, Existentialism, is all about the individual, but I'm also all about relationships.
Very good. Very good. So when you were talking about, you know, that the long conversation that you've had for 45 years.
Yeah. Beatrice Beaton.
That's really good. So when you talk about existentialism, let's talk about, you have mentioned like, okay, this is how we believe and this is what we do and this is what we think. But you talked about who were the existentialists, but what is existentialism? Let's talk about the meaning of it. How does it attach and how does it affect my life?
Okay, again, the meaning, it's a label that's put on a lot of thinkers with very diverse views. What unites them are themes, right? And the themes, again, are freedom, choice, the individual. They deal with moods in a way and feelings that other philosophers hadn't. Some of them are writers or just authors like Dostoevsky, others playwrights, Ionesco, others philosophers. So again, it's a very diverse group of people that don't share any particular one belief. So it's hard to lump them together.
Yeah, but
what do the existentialists, please boil it down into a paragraph of what the existentialists, yeah. I couldn't do that. That's you can't do that.
So it's having a different thought.
No, it's not. No, they have different ideas about different things, but they emphasize. Okay, here's you want an example? We have time.
Yes, we do.
So my man Søren Kierkegaard, he one point in his book, he takes about two pages to describe all these objective facts about death. Right. So you know, if you drink poison, you're going to die. You know, the hero dies in the fifth act. About two pages of just cold facts about death, right? Mm-hmm. All those facts don't tell me what it means to me that I'm going to die. So yes. The difference between objective facts versus what it means that I'm going to die or what it means that I exist, right? So there's this first-person perspective, this inside-out perspective that the existentialists take and that I found very – so you can have all these theories, but you need to know what those theories mean to you, right? So this idea of something we don't talk about a lot of really appropriating our true ideas. It's not a matter of getting more knowledge. It's a matter of getting into a new relationship mm-hmm. with knowledge. Like I can have all kinds of theories about love, but if I don't passionately engage those ideas, it's just chatter.
Okay? Got it. Okay. So as you are going through life, you're experiencing your life pattern. You're saying this is difficult. You talk about pain and how difficult pain is, and people don't want to sit with our anxiety or depression or our past because of pain. But pain, the other side of pain is peace. How did you work your way through the pain to that other side of peace?
I'm not on the other side. I deal with pain all the time. I don't have any peace. I have very little peace. I'm always like agitated and... I don't have that much peace. I mean, no. So it's not like, you know, I got through this period and now I'm fine by any means. You know, I'm still messed up.
That's the reason to buy the book. Okay, 407-373-5959. I get you a copy of How to Live Authentically in an Inauthentic Age, The Existentialist Survival Guide by Gordon Marino. And so, okay, so why did you write this book?
I wrote the book because I thought it was time to try to distill some of the insights on these very important topics. Whether or not you're a good person has, again, as I said before, has a lot to do with how you're going to deal with the pain in life. And I described, and I think these thinkers do have, these authors have a great deal to say about these issues that are quite unique. Okay, for example, in the chapter on love, I talk a lot about you know, we always think we want love and all this kind of thing and desire to be loved. But we don't really, not many of us really want to be loved for who we are in our totality. That real true intimacy, really, to be loved by someone who really knows you is an amazing, it's a blessing. It's divine. Mm-hmm. It's as opposed to being loved for, I'm an author or I'm an athlete, you know what I mean? And, you know, I remember talking with a friend whose wife had died and they had a very difficult relationship. And, he said, she knew me and I called her up and I said, how do you feel? And he said, she knew me and she loved me. She really knew who he was. And that's very powerful thing in life.
Okay, and we're going to continue our conversation. Be the seventh caller or texter, 407-373-5959. That's existential. So hard to say it.
Yes, I know.
And we're going to continue our conversation when we return worldwide at whenyouneedafriend.com. We'll be right here waiting for you. Here waiting for you.
FM 100.3, W262 AG Jacksonville, AM 1600, WZNZ Atlantic Beach Jacksonville. Talk 100.3 FM.
Close faces five counts of first-degree murder and had nursed a grudge against the paper and some of its reporters. The attack has not silenced the Capital Gazette newspaper. There is a fresh edition on the stands this morning. President Trump has met with senators, Republicans, and Democrats talk about the Supreme Court vacancy created by the pending retirement of Justice Anthony Kennedy. Vice President Pence says that most of the illegal immigrants coming into the U.S. are not facing danger in their home countries. Pence, speaking during a stop in Guatemala, he's discussing immigration with the presidents of Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador. Dow futures up 98 points. More details at srnnews.com.
Hey, this is Ricky from Banyan Hill. I want to get a few things straight. First off, I like freedom. Second, I like money. Fact is, I like freedom and money, which is why I love Freedom Checks, a unique investment that can secure your retirement income without being tied down to the government. And while I'm no genius, I am smart enough to follow an expert like Matt, who showed me how anyone has the chance to stake their claim on an estimated $34.6 billion payout. To get all the details from Matt, just go to freedomchecks123.com. Thousands of people are already lined up to cash in. Take Doug, for example. He's a 46-year-old from Joppa, Missouri, who's set to get a check for $24,075. Now, how much your check is depends on how much you put behind Matt's insights, but the potential here is undeniable. Of course, if you want the chance to grab your full fair share of this $34.6 billion, you must have your ducks in a row ASAP. So don't wait. Go see Matt at freedomchecks123.com. That's www.freedomchecks123.com.
Talk 100.3 FM, traffic and weather.
95 South at Butler Boulevard, there's been a crash. And then once on Butler Boulevard West at 95, there's an accident involving at least three cars. 295 South at Southside Boulevard, there's a crash on the left. Hot and humid for most of the day, then thunderstorms in the afternoon, a high near 90. More rain with thunderstorms this evening. Overnight, the low 75.
I'm Clayton Bromberg, the president of Underwoods. If you want to know the most important thing about a diamond's beauty, the answer would be the way it's cut. There's a trade-off between a diamond cut for maximum beauty and one cut for maximum weight, and it's seen in the price. You see, diamond cutters buy rough diamonds based on weight, so all the diamond weight that's cut away can affect their profit. But because there are known cutting parameters for the ideal or most beautiful diamond, deviations from these will yield a heavier and less beautiful diamond. Unfortunately, customers can't detect cutting imperfections without expert help. And in fact, diamonds of the same weight, color, and clarity can vary in value by as much as 50% or more just because of the way it's cut. At Underwoods, we look at how a diamond is cut first, and we have the computerized gemological equipment to determine the quality of the cut and the light performance of the diamond to see if the diamond should carry the Underwood name. So if quality counts with you, stop by Underwoods in San Marco, Avondale, and the shops of Ponte Vedra.
Transmission problems? Call Action Transmission Specialists on Merrill Road, where you get the work done right the first time by the experts. I'm Robin Sidbury, the owner. Our techs can service all makes and models, and we provide a nationwide warranty, so you have the peace of mind knowing we solve your transmission troubles fairly and honestly and guaranteed nationwide. Call us at Action Transmission Specialists on Merrill Road, where quality counts. Get traction. And call Action at
744-0755.
You can text Lillian McDermott or leave her a voicemail at 407-373-5959. Once again, here's Lillian.
Welcome back to the Lillian McDermott Radio Show, where you can hear us worldwide at whenyouneedafriend.com. I'm your host, Lillian McDermott. And today, you know, it is always so important for me that whoever is in front of me, that they become a teacher. Teachers can teach you how to be and how not to be. And it all depends on your perspective. What do you want? And so what I want is for you to stop whatever you're doing and go to whenyouneedafriend.com, become a subscriber. And while you're there, make sure that you check out all my social media. Do it now, because if you say you're going to do it tomorrow or later, it's not going to happen. So just make sure you do it now. If you're driving, pull over to the side, or as soon as you park, then do it. That whenyouneedafriend.com is a place where we take 100% responsibility for our life. Take whatever is happening in your life. And that sitting down is so important. Of all the things that today's teacher is Gordon Marino. And Gordon Marino is the author of The Existentialist Survival Guide. I can say it slow. It's when I got 20 seconds left that my tongue traps around my teeth and it just doesn't flow as well. Be the seventh caller. This book is about how to live an authentic life in an inauthentic age. And so Gordon Marino has shared his memoirs, has shared his stories of important aspects of our lives. And so we're talking about a book that offers you an opportunity to self-reflect. And so be the seventh caller or texter, 407-373-5959. The first person to spell existentialist will get the book. How about that? So go to whenyouneedafriend.com. Please become a subscriber. While you're there, there are little buttons that you can click on and play. So click on the YouTube video button and subscribe there. Whenever you subscribe, the show and the video can be sent to you to your email, the email of choice that you have. And that way you can listen at your leisure, especially if you want to listen to the show over and over again. And then go to my social media and like me and all my social media. And also make sure that when you're there, you go to my sponsorships page, my sponsors. Because of my sponsor, this show goes on. So please go there, check out my sponsors, and figure out ways that you can support them the way they are supporting me. I'm on podcasts. So you can, if you love podcasts, you can find me at iTunes, Google Play Music, iHeartRadio, and even Spotify. And you can call 407-373-5959 and be the seventh caller or texter. You will win the book, The Existentialist Survival Guide. And, you know, there's so many. And thank you, Gordon, for waking up early and being part of the Lillian McDermott Radio Show. I do want to talk about why we need to sit and reflect. We talked about in the prior segment that we don't get to figure things out right away, or if you figure it out once, you're done. But it's a process. It's a process. And you and I have been sparring the entire time that you've been on the air. And yes. And so you've been even teaching me how to box right. You tell me I'm a horrible boxer. And so you said to me, you know, this is not how you're supposed to box. This is how you're supposed to box. Well, here's the thing. People want answers. We want to know, why do we want to pick up this book if we're not going to get answers? So why should we want your book if we're not going to get answers? And you said?
Well, life's not a math problem. You're going to get insights. They're really important insights in this book about life. But they're not like answers. There's no, you know, it's not like a math problem, right? Where you get some solution. Oh, now I know how to, now I've got anxieties, you know, taken care of. So it's not quite like that. And it's a call to, when I say a call to self-reflection, to being honest with yourself, right?
There you go. That's it. That's what you master in this book, self-reflection. And that's what people don't want to do. They want to take a pill to get their symptoms and mask their symptoms, but very rarely will they sit down with a journal and say, what is my body saying about anxiety? What is my body saying about my depression or what about, you talk about death in your book. Let's talk about death and what you learned by sitting down, and what could you share? What are your pearls that you've learned about death?
Well, one of these is just being aware of your own mortality, what that means. And it makes you less careless in life. Like I talk about the fact that my brother and I, my brother was guardian angel, man. And we had a fight over my mother and didn't talk for 9 years. And he was as close to me as can be. And both vice versa. Now that's since changed, but there's 9 wasted years when we were at the equator of our lives. And if I had been more aware of my mortality, I would have made sure we did something. So awareness of death.
Oh, did we lose him?
No, I'm here.
No, I can't hear him. Okay. I can't hear you right now. I lost you.
Right now.
Okay. No. But when you were talking, I couldn't hear you. I'm sorry. Okay. So you said 9 wasted years. That was the last thing I heard.
Yeah. Okay. So I had this fight with my brother, right? 9 years in the equator of our lives where I had so much to share. I just had children. And I think a more profound awareness of mortality, that at any moment you could be gone, you'd be less careless with relationships. More careless, more serious about the spiritual work we've got to do. You know, so it should wake us up. It creates what Kierkegaard calls an awareness of death creates a time scarcity. It almost increases the value of the moment because you're aware it could be over at any moment.
But right? Isn't that the way we should live our life, period? We should know that at any moment that could be our final goodbye. You know, when I coach somebody, I always ask if they don't want to talk to somebody, I'm done. If those were your final words, if that person dies today, would you be okay with the way you left things? And some people can't go there, Gordon. Mm. Some people can't sit with that thought and say, wow, that really would stink. Some people would say, fine, I don't care, because they're so lost in their ego. How big is your ego at that point when you're saying, Gordon, I wasted, you know, those 9 years? Did you feel, I don't care if I'd ever talk to him? What was more important, to be right? Was it more important to hold on to the grudge? Or do you find that those 9 years were not wasted at all, that it taught you a valuable lesson on love?
They weren't wasted, but it was a terrible loss. Terrible loss of time that we both mourned together, my brother and I, asking ourselves how we could let that happen. You know, so it was a loss, yeah.
Yeah, but you can use that. You can continue to say it was a loss, or you can say, gosh, we learned so much and how important family is.
It was both.
It's just a different way of looking.
It's okay to say their losses in life, that things didn't go right.
Yes, it is.
And I think during that time, I figured, well, it'll work out someday. And time went on, years went on, and it didn't.
Made it happen. And that's the point. You made it happen. So you had said, well, I don't have a how to do, but in your stories, you share these, how important life is and how precious it is. And be the 7th caller or texter to win a copy of Gordon Marino's book, The Existentialist Survival Guide, and 407-373-5959. So yes, there are great lessons in this book. So let's talk about authenticity, because I had shared at the beginning of the show that for me to be authentic, I had to step out of the norm, step out of the box. What are the pearls that you have learned in your life that you can share with our listeners?
About authenticity?
Yes.
Well, I suggest there's two. We don't think about it enough these days, right? It's all about self-presentation and social media, right? Yes. A lot of how you present yourself. Oh, I'm on the beach. And then you rub people right in. Oh, I'm so jealous and that kind of stuff, right? I mean, look how happy I am. So, yeah. I find a lot of it toxic, but it would have, to think more deeply about authenticity, there's basically two models. One says to be authentic is to kind of create yourself, right? To your true self, like you're an artwork, right? Mm-hmm. That's how someone like Nietzsche thought about it. Become yourself, he meant you create yourself. On the other hand, you have another view, say from Kierkegaard, for a true believer who said, no, God made you to be a certain way, a child of God. And if you miss that boat, you've missed becoming your real self. You miss becoming authentic. So two models. One says there's an inborn self. Another says it's all about self-creation, which we're much more into today. We like the idea of self-creation. Develop your talents, then you become authentic, all that stuff.
And how were you able to tie the two? How were you able to say, I am who I am?
I was thinking of Popeye used to say that.
I am who I am. We love the yams.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. I didn't tie them together. I believe what Kierkegaard said. I believe that God made us to be a certain kind of person, and that's what it is to be authentic, to become a true human being, someone like the Good Samaritan.
Very good. Yeah. And you are giving yourself the authority to be who you say you are. That is so important. For those of you who are living, and I believe that that's the major cause people are anxious, depressed, and in despair, is because they've lost that connection of who they want to be, who they were created to be, and they want to maybe be a part of what the world wants for them. And we're going to continue our conversation with Gordon Marino. The book is called The Existentialist Survival Guide. Be the seventh caller or texter, 407-373-5959. And we'll continue our conversation when we return worldwide at whenyouneedafriend.com. We'll be right here waiting for you.
I'll be right here waiting for you.
With you every night through the long commuter fight, and in the morning with your toast and mama lady. Oh, who listens to radio? No matter if it's summer, winter, spring or fall, who listens to radio? Only 150 million.
150 million. More about becoming a sponsor, call me at 407-373-5959. That's 407-373-5959. This is Lillian McDermott, and I'll be right here waiting for you. Teens whose parents drive distracted are twice as likely to also drive distracted. Our children look up to us, they pick up our habits, good and bad. What behaviors are you teaching your children while you drive? Eating, texting, putting on makeup? What distractions would you give up if it meant saving your child's life? Be the driver you want your teen to be. End distracted driving. Visit ndd.org to learn more. This is Lillian McDermott, and I'm glad FM 100.3, The Biz, cares about you. Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? We are happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. You choose your doctor and hospital. Starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all kids. For more information, visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org. The Lillian McDermott Radio Show has brought great teachers who have taught us that our bodies can heal naturally and without toxicity. Not everyone has access to this information, and insurance does not pay for holistic therapies. After learning this truth, I started a foundation. McDermott Holistic Healing Foundation is in its infancy and can use your help. Go to McDermottHolisticHealingFoundation.org, register, donate, and heal. McDermottHolisticHealingFoundation.org is here for you. Have you been injured on the job and don't know what to do? Attorney Terry Bird in Jacksonville, Florida, will explain your benefits under the workers' compensation laws. He has helped clients for over 28 years, and there are no costs or fees unless a recovery is made. Call Terry to learn more, 904-731-0990. That's 904-731-0990 or at lawbyrd.com.
When you need a friend, you can count on me. I'll waiting for you.
You can text Lillian McDermott or leave her a voicemail at 407-373-5959. Once again, here's Lillian.
Face, will you?
I'm going to bop him in the face right there.
Oh. Get your elbows around.
Are we on? Are we on? Okay, I've been sparring off the air. For those of you who want to hear our conversations with Gordon Marino, go to whenyouneedafriend.com. And make sure you become a subscriber. Always subscribe. So today we're talking about the book, The Existentialist Survival Guide with Gordon Marino. And it's how to live authentically in an inauthentic age. And I think, you know, when I picked up your book, Gordon, I thought, you know, this is your judgment. This is your judgment. This is your perception. So I know that you said, well, I don't have any tips. I don't have any, you know, but you told me that off the air.
I don't have any.
Hey, listen, I just learned how to do a left jab. I can do it off. Okay, well, so let's talk about that. You said, this is not a how-to book. I don't have tips. This is what you said. I think I can replay this back.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, right? Okay.
So I didn't put the how-to part on that.
No, there's no. So let's talk about that. You know, people are listening. We talked about faith off the air, and I loved your perspective of your relationship with faith, not necessarily faith. Let's talk about that.
Let me tell you just a story there. So I'm having a really bad day, feeling really depressed. And for some reason, I'm driving home and I pull in the Catholic church. I go to light a candle for my father, and I get to the little chapel.
Oh, I lost them again.
Where the candles are. They move over down to the stub. You know, there's no more candles there. And I said, what the WTF, right? And it's part of me like, that's it with faith, you know? So I'm pushed out the door angry. And then I was taking note that it's really, so kind of feeling of losing my faith there. I said, no, it's when... When that happens, you have a choice of whether or not to pray, to try to hold on, trust in God, or let it go. That we don't lose our faith; we push it away. And that was an insight for me.
But you see, that's an insight for you. But in the Book of John, it says that you can never be snapped. The Book of John in the Bible.
Yeah.
Okay, it says that you can never, once you are a believer, you can never be snatched from the hands of God. But you can walk away. You can never be snatched. You can never be taken. But we can make the choice to walk away.
Right.
So that realization is scripturally based.
Yeah, but here, a lot of people, when they, so to speak, walk away, they say they lost their faith like someone took it away from them. They were robbed of it, or like a set of keys they lost. I'm saying, no, it's a decision. It's neither or.
Yeah,
not disparaging the people who say no, but it's a decision.
And I totally agree. And so you were talking about the relationship to your belief, but let's talk about people that believe a certain way, because you can believe and be passionate about your belief, but be 100% toxic about your belief.
Right.
So let's talk about holding on to that relationship.
Well, what's the question?
The question is, how have you in your times in your life where you have shifted your belief because you knew that belief was toxic for you? So we're talking about relationship between you and your belief. Some people will rather die with that belief than share or that see that there is another, like you said, it's a choice.
Well, capacity to tolerate cognitive dissonance. Most people can't tolerate that. They get locked in. That's probably maybe ego there, right? And they're not going to change. They'll never admit they're wrong about it. And that's a lot of what's going on in our society. But we need to be able to tolerate cognitive dissonance, doubt, and especially be self-reflective. I've got to say, like, okay, it's really important to me to be a kind person. Oh man, but what I did today was not kind, you know, and that wasn't me. That wasn't right. So this ability to deal with, be honest with ourselves, requires ability to deal with some tension in the mind. And,
So now what? So you have awareness, you have self-awareness, you've done some self-reflection. Now what? How do you suggest, you know, because basically when you're writing this book, for some people, you're giving them permission. You're saying, hey, listen, this is what I did. I was able to self-reflect. How about you? How about how do you self-reflect? So I'm asking you in your self-reflection, when you realize, man, I was really unkind, mm-hmm. how do you make it right? How do you take that ownership?
I say you should never talk to yourself in a way that you wouldn't talk to a friend. So when I screw up and say something, you know, do something that I take to be egoistic or whatever, I sigh, feel a bit of sorrow, and I try not to torture myself about it. For those of us who are inclined towards depressive type of experience, there's a tendency to self-laceration, just whipping yourself and enjoying it in some perverse way. And so one of the things I have learned is, okay, you're a human being, that happens, you know, that's your insecure or whatever. Try not to do it again. So you want to talk to yourself in the way that you talk to a friend. And many people are very harsh on themselves. And yeah, to hear him talking to a friend, very nice.
Would you like to share a story that from self-reflection, you're able to get to that acceptance and resolution? And I mean, you talked about your brother's story, and that was great, and how you were able to take those 9 years and try to make up for them at this point by coming together and realizing that the argument wasn't more important than the relationship. Right. So can you share another story that...
Well, it's a nasty one. Well, it's one of the in the chapter on love. a couple years ago, my son got married, and beautiful wedding, just magical. Everything's fine. A whole combined families go up north to the Lake Superior for a get together, and I was drinking a little too much, started a big fight with my wife, and my son's going, Dad, what are you doing, man? What are you doing? And then the next morning, he came over and said, it's okay, Dad, don't worry about it. And I said, get out of here. I don't need your forgiveness, you know. And about 10 minutes later, I said, thanks. I did need his forgiveness. And that my impulse was to torture myself for the rest of my life about that, because I never thought I would do something like that. I had episodes in the past of doing crazy stuff, but I thought I was all over, and it wasn't. And I obviously acted out in the ways that I'll never forget. It was a horrible experience.
So how do you resolve that within yourself? Because you said you're not gonna carry it for the rest of your life, but how do you help others that come to you? Let's say I come to you and say, hey, I really messed up and I said some things that were horrible. I could never, you know, yes, I was forgiven. I'm still harboring it within me.
Because the self-torture is not authentic guilt. What you should do is you feel sorry. You say you feel guilt. You say you're sorry. And the biblical idea is you repent and change your ways. You got to do both.
Right.
You have to change your ways. But not to sit around. The tendency sometimes is to, I'm just a terrible person, and then you lose all hope in yourself, mm-hmm. right? Then you cop out and you go, I can't change, and that kind of thing, right? We can change. One of the ideas in the book is we can make moral U-turns. We can become better people, and a lot of people don't want to think that because that means it's going to do things differently. Sometimes it's hard, but we can make moral U-turns. People have done it.
Yes, and I love that, moral U-turns. So how does a moral U-turn look like? So walk us through the steps, moral U-turn. You gave us an example, but let's make it concrete.
What do you mean the steps? It's not like, okay, step
one. There are steps. You said step one. Okay. Right, okay. One. Hey, listen, I learned how to do a left jab. Don't be messing with me, sir.
All right. Step one would be recognizing what you did, right?
Yes.
Step two would be feeling sorry about it.
Yeah.
Step three would be saying you're sorry. Mm-hmm. Step four would be resolving to change your ways. Step five, don't torture yourself about it endlessly. Right? Don't indulge in self-torture.
So how do you stay away from self-torturing yourself?
By reminding yourself you were human beings, that we have a past. I have a past where that stuff went on all the time in my house. It's not surprising it would creep up again. There's a lot of anger I have about certain things. And to remind yourself you're just a human being, and that's going to happen. We're flawed creatures and not perfect.
Very right? good. I love that. I love the pearls and wisdom. Thank you so much, Gordon Marino, PhD. For those of you who would like a copy of this book, Seventh Caller or Texter, 407-373-5959, How to Live Authentically in an Inauthentic Age. The book is called The Existentialist Survival Guide. Thank you so much, Gordon. It has been a pleasure sparring with you today.
Good conversation. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. And for those of you, my listening friends, that, you know, feel that there are things that you need to sit with, it will help you. I promise you. You can spend a lot of money trying to take pills and trying to get better, but the reality is that emotional work is so crucial. Please remember, I'll be right here waiting for you worldwide at whenyouneedafriend.com. This is Lillian McDermott wishing you love, peace, joy, and unexpected abundance. Make it the best day ever. That's the best ever.
The opinions and advice expressed on the Lillian McDermott radio show are intended for the individual callers and guests on the program and are presented to our wider audience solely for general educational purposes. Please act responsibly and consult personally with your own medical, psychological, or nutritional expert.